All right, this is the Happy House Hunters Mastermind, and I want to talk today about how to be a good landlord. So here comes Michelle. We're going to let her in. So we've got Tammy and Michelle. So I'll wait for Michelle to get all connected here. I see her connecting. But anyway, how to be a good landlord. Becoming a good landlord means being able to properly manage your rental property while also considering the needs of your tenants. Now, here are some things that you can start doing to become your tenant's favorite landlord. Now, I've had tenants tell me I was their favorite already. So I guess that's a good thing. But some of these are new for me. So I was excited to see this article. So number one, help the tenant get adjusted to the area. Now, I do that a little bit because I give them in my lease, as I'm signing the lease, I give them a whole page printout of all of the utility companies. And I don't know if you do that or not, Tammy and Michelle, but I do that so that they don't have to dig for it. Because if they're moving from one area to another or whatever, and even me right now, when I have a tenant move out and I have to put the electric back in my name, I'm always asking myself, is that AEP or is that South Central? I can't remember. And I have to even go look it up. So I get it that if it's hard for me, and this is what I do, can you imagine with a tenant trying to figure out who do I call? How do I get these utilities on? And so I actually just give them that list. But according to this article, and I'll just kind of back up and read it. It's by Lawrence Jankolo. And it was written recently, February of 22. And it's just easy ways you can be an awesome landlord. And so one of the things that Lawrence says is that he likes to provide them with local grocery stores and pharmacies and, you know, other facilities, everything, you know, just favorite restaurants. And, you know, it's not required, I guess, but any help from, you know, local lists like that helps the tenants feel more comfortable in their new home right away. Now, oftentimes my clients have already been in the same town. So they already know where all that stuff is. And they even already know, you know, about the utilities, but it is a nice step. Lawrence also writes them a welcome letter. Now, I don't do a welcome letter, but I do a welcome basket. So Tammy, do you do any type of a basket or anything like that?
I do, and I do a welcome letter that basically just says, here is when your payment is due, here's how you can make it, here's some things you might need to know, like when trash day is or where to park, things okay. Like that.
Well, and I suppose, yeah, I do that too. I guess I didn't call that a welcome letter. Mine was, you know, things you need to know kind of letter. So I suppose that's my form of a welcome letter. But anyway, Lawrence says he leaves the tenant a brief note welcoming them to the unit, as well as reiterating how happy he is to have them. And it kind of sets the right tone for a positive renting experience. And then he provides, again, special instructions for the apartment, like, you know, trash, pickup, recycling, contact information, all of that. Now, here's a good one. And I haven't done this one, but I think I'm going to start doing this one. He stocks the bathrooms. He says when a tenant is first moving in, he said the last thing on their mind is picking up some toilet paper. So if you stock each bathroom in the unit with a roll of toilet paper and hand soap, your tenants will feel welcomed and appreciate the gesture. Now, I do hang a shower curtain because, again, I've moved in late, and then, you know, you finally get moved and you're tired and you want to take a shower and you don't know where the darn shower curtain is that you packed. And there's David. Hi, David. And so, I do hang a shower curtain. So I think I am going to start stocking the bathroom a little better, you know, with the toilet paper and some paper towels and some hand soap, that sort of thing. And Lawrence also says he helps them change their address. He said by including either address labels for their unit or a change of address packets from the post office with his welcome letter, this can show the tenants that you think of the little things. They'll also think of you as a responsible and detail-oriented person, which are two excellent qualities to find in a landlord. So if you provide change of address instructions when they move out, this will help prevent unwanted mail still being delivered that you won't want to forward or throw away. So I hadn't done that either. And you know what? You can pick up those packets from the post office. So I might go pick up some packets and just keep them in my office so that I have some. So have you done that, Tammy, David, Michelle, any of you done the change of address packets? No, I haven't either. Michelle, how about you?
No, never done it.
But you know what? Isn't that a great idea? So I hadn't thought of that before. So yeah, I think I'm going to do that as well. So I like the toilet paper idea. I like the hand soap idea. I like the change of address packet idea.
We do the toilet paper and hand soap and a package, a roll of paper towels so that they can dry their hands after they wash them.
Okay. Okay.
And the shower curtain, like you said.
Now, what do you put in? Let's go back to that welcome letter. I do a little welcome basket. What do you put in your welcome basket?
Well, so far we've stuck with just little things that they would need, like a roll of toilet paper, paper towels, hand soap, and a little, I don't remember, David, what else was it?
I was thinking our welcome, our basket, our quote unquote basket, we actually get a small waste basket. So, and then stock it with the basic toiletries. For the tenants we've had move in that had children, we threw in like some sidewalk chalk or just something fun for the kids. But yeah, so it try to give that as you mentioned earlier, Kathy, all those little things you might not think of when you first move in, those basic mm-hmm. toiletries and cleaning for the units with granite countertops, we threw in a bottle of the granite cleaner.
Good ideas. That's all great ideas. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't do very well if I don't have my first morning cup of coffee. And I think it's just more of a habit than anything, because sometimes I get busy and I don't even finish drinking my first cup of coffee. But that's just a habit of mine. I love to get up and have my first cup of coffee. And sometimes when folks are moving in and it's late, they don't even know what they did with their coffee pot. It's packed somewhere in a box. And so because you can go to, I don't know, Walmart and get a $10 coffee pot, I oftentimes will actually make the coffee maker and some coffee and a thing of creamer as the welcome gift with a card. And so, but I do like the toilet paper idea and the waste basket. So these are all great ideas. Michelle, how about you? Are you doing any type of a welcome basket or anything for your tenants?
No, we haven't done that yet. More like just the toilet paper, paper towels thing.
Okay. All right. So we're all doing something, and that's I think that's important. So follow the guidelines in your rental lease. That's another tip. He says, whenever there is an issue with the tenant, always follow the guidelines outlined in your rental lease to avoid additional problems. It says, if there are issues that come up that weren't addressed in the lease, you can always refer back to your city's local ordinance or check on a local landlord forum for tips and best practices. This way, should they have any objections, you can make it clear that you're within your rights and you're doing what is consistent among other landlords. This is so important. This is so important because you want to do the same thing the same way every time. I know one of our members in the mastermind had several properties in a row, and don't think those tenants don't talk to each other. So you can't handle one problem one way and then handle a different tenant with the same problem a different way. And you have to follow your lease. And I was just telling Tammy before we started recording, one of our members is, you know, has some questions about, you know, my tenant did this, what should I do? And I'm like, what does your lease say? What does your lease say you should do? Always go back to the lease. And if you decide down the road that you need to update your lease and make it say something more, or you want to change, you know, do that, upgrade that. But you always have to go back and refer to your lease. So anyhow, the next point that Lawrence makes in this article is to always remain calm when handling problems. The renting process may include hiccups that can prevent a tenant from paying rent on time. Well, like the global pandemic, for example. And while it's normal to get frustrated when handling major problems, it's important to remain professional and calm as a landlord. Now, the best way for me to do that is sometimes I get down in the weeds with the tenant and I don't want to go there. And so having that advisory board is huge. And so no matter what my tenant asks me or what problem it is or whatever, I just go, you know, I would love to do that, but let me check with the advisory board. And what that does is it allows me time to think. And then I do go to the advisory board. We have an attorney on my advisory board. I have a real estate agent on my advisory board. I have my insurance guy on my advisory board. And so I actually, depending on what the problem or question is, I do go to the appropriate person on my advisory board. Sometimes it's a maintenance issue, and sometimes it's not a maintenance issue, but it falls into that category. Like, I have a house that does not have screen doors, and the lady is like, can we have screen doors? Well, as a landlord, you know, that's not going to be cheap. It sounds like, oh, it's just a small thing. But by the time you shop for the screen door and you order the screen door, and then you have to get all the parts and pieces and the handles and the springs and the you know, the hinges, and then you've got to install it. And then, you know, maybe the other door isn't set right where it fits. It's not a 20-minute job to put on a screen door. But your tenant thinks it's just a screen door. I mean, I've seen them over at Lowe's for $100. You know, why can't I have a screen door? And that $100 screen door turns into a $500 project, you know, for you to put a screen door on for a tenant. So sometimes it's just so easy to say, you know, that's a wonderful idea. Let me check with my advisory board. And then it gives you time to do your homework and your research. And so this is a true story. I have a lady that wants screen doors because she loves this time of year, you know, to not use her air and have her doors and windows open. And this particular house didn't come with screen doors. I've owned it for years. No one has ever asked for screen doors, and now she wants screen doors. And so I sent Matt and I said, just do a proposal for me and let me know what you think. And so he came back with his findings. And so now I haven't offered yet, but this week I'm going to offer her that I've spoken with the advisory board, because again, you know, I have contractors, I have Derek, I have Matt, and I have Kent on my advisory board. And so now I'm going to offer her that we'll do the install if she'll buy the doors. And that way she's got a little bit of skin in the game as well. And I'm not paying 100% of the price. And so you see how that can work to your advantage to have, you know, that advisory board as a sounding board. And always keep the relationship professional. Having a friendly professional relationship with your tenant is great, but it's important to set boundaries in case you have to evict them or meet them in court. You don't want to get caught up at the expense of the health of your rental business. I cannot express that enough. And so when your tenant tries to pull you down in the weeds because they're all drama, you have to step back and not get sucked into that. You have to always keep your relationship professional. And again, that's where that advisory board comes in, you know, because you can always be the nice guy and say, you know, I think that sounds like a great idea. Let me check, you know, or I love that you're thinking like that. Let me check. But if they're fighting with another tenant or whatever, see, you can stay removed from that, which brings us to being consistent. Always follow your rental lease guidelines that you've set with your tenants, whether it's responding to maintenance or collecting rent, whatever it is, make sure that you carry out your end of the deal. But be accessible. And here's where I want to kind of get down in the weeds a little bit. I'm accessible through Inago. Now, you can use all kinds of online type programs, property management software platforms, but I have chosen Inago. And so I know, Tammy, you and David have Inago. Michelle, are you using anything like that currently?
I use apartments.com.
Okay. So that used to be Cozy. I think they bought Cozy.
Yeah.
And it's very similar to those two programs are almost identical. So be accessible. But again, what you do, if you make them submit everything through the property management software and not a text message, not a note on your door, a note on your car or whatever, if you just make sure they communicate through that, what it does is it eliminates a lot of the issues that are not a landlord issue. If they can communicate by text message, or by flagging you down when you're driving by or whatever, all of a sudden they start presenting all their problems to you. You know, somebody took the lid to my trash can. Well, if they bought the trash can, it's not your problem if somebody took the lid to their trash can, you know, if you didn't provide the trash can, but they want to make it your problem, and they'll make all of those problems your problem if you let them. But after you get them trained that all the communication has to come through the property management software, they'll start just asking on what's in the lease, because they'll realize that there is a bigger company behind it than just you as a person. And so I actually walk them through the lease. When we sign a lease, I establish myself, you know, as the high quality landlord, even before they've moved in. I go through the lease step by step. I respond promptly. I'm very aware of my online profile. You know, I make sure that I look professional online. No matter where they Google my name, I'm going to show up as a professional. You know, I'm not going to be having me, you know, pictures of me at a drunken party somewhere and, you know, giving everybody the finger. I remember I searched for somebody one time online and they seemed so nice, and all their pictures were them drunk, you know, with giving everybody the finger. And I'm like, oh yeah, that definitely want to have them as a neighbor. So make sure that you look professional everywhere, respond promptly, you know, keep it professional, and make sure they communicate with you on an online type platform. And so offer those online services, which it sounds like we all do, where you can offer the online lease agreement. You can offer, you know, them to pay online. They can report their maintenance issues online. And what it does is it keeps you professional with your tenant, and it stops them from bringing every little problem and issue to you that is not really your problem. It's not really something that you should even have to deal with, but they will try. And then electronically store your documents. So even if you have them sign a paper lease, have a way that you can upload that paper lease into an electronic type format so that they can tap in, because most of my tenants, they don't remember what they did with the lease. Next thing you know, they're calling me or texting me, you know, what's the late fee if I'm late this month, or what date is this, or what is that, or how? And so now if I have their lease available electronically, no matter what they ask me, no matter how they communicate with me, I always respond back to them through my online platform, through Inago or Cozy. And I just let them know, you know, click here for a copy of your lease. You know, that way they can click and go right to their lease, and they can, because you want to train your tenant that your only job is to fulfill your end of the lease. That's your only job with your tenant. It's not to worry if they're having a fight with their mother-in-law or if somebody parked in their parking space. Your only job is to fulfill your end of the lease and to make sure that the property is in good condition, you know, on what you promised them. So at that point, I think that kind of covers how to be a great landlord. I love, you know, the whole welcome letter, welcome basket thing, and remaining calm and staying professional and automating as much as you can automate. So comments, questions, what type of concerns have you had that maybe these points didn't cover? So anyone have any stories to tell?
Well, the keep calm, normally that's not a problem for me. Normally I'm pretty calm and things roll off, but we have one tenant.
I view you as a very calm person, David.
We have one tenant, and I honestly have been racking my brain trying to figure out what about him just punches my buttons.
Give us an example, David. You don't have to use names, but give us an example.
Well, so he's an apprentice electrician, and he pointed out that when I wired up the AC unit for the apartment, the gauge, well, I was one gauge too small on the wire. And he's right. And I know I researched this, and I went back to the documentation trying to figure out, you know, what happened. And the documentation, yes, absolutely, I should have used one gauge wire bigger. Somewhere, you know, I switched lines as I was scanning across or something. So he's absolutely right. But I don't know, the way he presents it and the way he comes off, he acts a bit entitled. But I wonder, you know, is it my own pride? He's pointing out things I did wrong. Nobody likes that. I want him to point out everything I did right.
Well, and it could just be a personality thing. But see, this is where your Inago is your friend. Because at that point, you're going to remain the professional business owner. Because at the end of the day, David, let me just assure you, you own the joint.
Mm-hmm.
And that trumps no matter how much knowledge he has, because at the end of the day, you own the joint. And he doesn't. And so all you need to do is just stay behind Inago, and just your job is to make sure that the property is up to code, that it's livable, it's current, it's nice, it's all those things that you want it to be, and you're fulfilling your end of the lease. And so whatever your lease says, it says if there is an issue and you only have to give a 24-hour notice that you're going to fix it, then give the 24-hour notice and fix it. Or if it says you'll give a 48-hour notice to fix it, give your 48-hour notice and fix it. And so at that point, no matter what he says, you can reaffirm, you know, I understand, but, you know, let me check with the advisory board. And at that point, you are functioning as a representative of your company at large. And so if you always, once you believe that yourself, you will present that to your tenants, that you are the business owner and the property owner. And I'm here to tell you, you're way ahead, no matter what he knows, you're way ahead, or he wouldn't be renting a unit from you. He would be the landlord himself somewhere down the road instead of being the tenant. And I'm not saying that it's a bad thing to be a tenant. Some people choose to be a tenant, you know, because they don't want that responsibility of being the landlord. But at the end of the day, you own the joint, you know?
Yeah.
Normally
I'm there. Right? The other thing that, you know, with every conversation you enter into, you're all kind of anticipating where things are going to go. You know, we just all do that naturally, I think, or maybe I'm unique, but I'm pretty sure we all do that. But he goes in directions I never saw coming, which I think also really, so I need to figure out how to quickly, when that thing took the left turn, just, you know, and it's exactly what you're saying. Back out, need to check with the advisory board, whatever it is, I'll get back to you, and just, you know, keep it really short and simple and professional and extract myself for the conversation as quickly as I can. So not
now,
a skill,
another way,
though,
another
that
way
I'm really
to do that.
Strong
I
yet.
I have a suggestion for you. Another way to do that is, no matter how my tenants communicate with me, I want to train them that all communication has to come through Inago. Well, as a tenant, when they tap into Inago, they don't get a lot of choices. They're allowed to have a maintenance request, a payment request. There's only three or four things. So a lot of stuff that they want to bring you into their world isn't even an option on Inago. So it kind of prevents them from doing that. I was just sharing with Tammy, we have a member where the girl's fighting with her mother and she wants it to be the landlord's problem. Like, my mother says that I should move and that she should stay. What do I do? It's like, no, don't get into that. Right. So my advice is always have them communicate with you through Inago, which will eliminate a lot of that going off in left field and down the rabbit hole in another whole conversation. Because once they have to put it in writing in Inago and they know it's going to your advisory board, they rethink what they're going to say. And then always respond back on Inago, which keeps it short and sweet. And it keeps it, you're just running your company. And you're not getting down in the weeds with, you know, where they take you off the beaten path down, you know, down the rabbit hole in some other conversation. And like I had a gal, you know, she was a little on the deceitful side and she wanted to play both ends against the middle and she wanted to paint her kitchen cabinets purple. And of course, the answer is no, because once she moves out, how are you going to cover that? I mean, how many coats of paint is it going to take to cover this? And it was a deep berry purple color. And so I'm like, no. And so she was like, well, you know, I talked to, because I was selling the building at the time. And she's like, I talked to the new owner and he said it was okay. But then she told the new owner, I talked to the old owner and she said it's okay. Well, neither one of us said it was okay. And, but she was trying to sneak in because like, oh, here's my opportunity to, you know, so I don't know whether she did that when she was little with her parents, like mom said I could do it and dad said I could do it, so I can do it or what. But anyway, needless to say, I made her put it in writing, her request. And then my answer was no in writing. So it was not even a conversation that anybody could say happened that either did or didn't happen, because the request was in writing, the answer was in writing, and it was told to her that all of this correspondence is forwarded on to the buyer. And see, that just eliminated all of that. Of he said, she said, and I don't know why you won't let me do this. And it was just eliminated because, again, we put it in writing and it just became a short and sweet question, answer, forwarded to the new buyer, done. And so that's my recommendation, is to just keep everything on your online platform, and that eliminates a ton of stuff. So thoughts on that. Michelle, how about you? Do you have all of your communication through Cozy or through apartments.com?
No, they don't really have a communication portal. We do it through just texting.
Okay. Now I would recommend that you move that over to email.
Okay.
If there's not a way in Cozy for you to send an email, can you send an email in Cozy?
No.
Can they submit a maintenance request in Cozy?
No.
Okay. See, with the Nago, you can do both. If you do not have a way to do that in Cozy, then I recommend you move that over. Even if you create a new email for yourself under your company name or something, I recommend that you have all of that done in email so that you have a written trail of everything that you've approved or not approved, just like my girl painting her cabinets, you know, dark purple. You want to have a paper trail, because if anything ever does end up going to court, especially if you're communicating about late rent or you're communicating about paint color or any or damages, or they said I could, you know, tear the back porch off, anything like that, you want to have a paper trail. And the paper and the email automatically dates and time stamps it automatically for you.
Okay. Well, I could use the texts, I'm sure, because it's sort of a paper trail. We use Google Voice, so it creates a timestamp and all that. But I'll look into switching over at Inago. We've been with apartments.com now for a little while, so I think it wouldn't be a big deal if we switched over now.
Yeah, I like it because I can do my maintenance there. And the thing that I like about my maintenance, and this is really sweet, my tenants can submit a maintenance request. So now it's in their words. How many things get lost in the interpretation? Now, I'll tell my little story to bring the point home. I was a service writer for a Ford dealership right out of high school in their maintenance department. And so when a customer would bring their car in and they would say, my car is making this noise and it sounds like this. Well, I was very careful. I did not want to diagnose that problem, because if I said, here's what I think's wrong with their car, then the mechanic is going to do what I said. So I would be very careful to actually put on the work order, the customer said the car was making a noise and it sounds like this. And I would describe the noise because just the way they described it, because I want the mechanic to decide what the problem was. I didn't want to be the person deciding. So with that said, on my Inago, when a customer says, here's my problem, my maintenance issue, I can actually forward that exact same email right over to the plumber, to the HVAC guy, to the handyman, whoever is going to do my fix for me. I simply, there's a section, there's a little link right at the top on Inago where you can forward that directly to the person who's going to do the fix. And it does several things. Number one, it describes the problem in the tenant's own words, not yours. Because you might think, oh, I've been having trouble with that door lock. I bet the door lock needs changed. Well, that may not be what the problem was at all. It could be that the hinge doesn't work now, or maybe the striker plate is now not adjusted. Maybe it doesn't need a new lock at all. And so if they say my door won't stay latched, I let that order go straight through to the maintenance person. I don't try to diagnose what the problem is. And also, with that said, they have their name, their phone number, and everything, right? That comes over automatically on Inago. So now, and it has where the person has permission to enter. It says, does maintenance have permission to fix this? And they have to tick it, yes or no. And so at that point, I just forward it on. And now my maintenance person contacts the tenant directly to schedule the repair. It doesn't come back through me. You know, the HVAC guy doesn't say, well, Kathy, I can do that Tuesday. And then I go, okay, well, let me check. And then I have to call the tenant. And the tenant goes, well, Tuesday doesn't work for me. Could he do it Wednesday? And then I call the HVAC guy back and he goes, no, I'm already scheduled on Wednesday. I told you I could do it Tuesday. Then I call the tenant back, you know, well, he can't do it on Wednesday. Can he do it Tuesday? Well, he can do it Tuesday if he comes at this time. You know, I call him back again. Can you do it at this time? And you see how that goes. And all of a sudden you're in the middle trying to sort this all out. And what I do is I just pick that up and forward it right on to my maintenance person, whoever that is, whether it's a plumber, HVAC person, roofing guy, whatever. And I just tell them, you know, contact the tenant and work it and figure out a time. And I put those two in contact with each other. And next thing I know, I get an invoice that says you're all fixed and here's your invoice. And so usually one phone call is all it takes for me to let my plumber know that I sent over a request. I do let them know, you know, I said, hey, just sent you in your email so that they know to go look for it. Because like us, they're getting 300 emails a day, junk mail. And so I tell them, hey, I just sent you a maintenance request. And they go, okay, I'll watch for it. And the next thing I know, I get an invoice and we're done. And that's the whole job, which is pretty sweet, actually. So anyway, thoughts or comments on that? Does that help, David?
No, it's all good stuff. And it just takes a little practice sometimes to implement it.
I know. And especially if you want to be a helpful person, you know, and like you live right next door to some of your tenants. So yeah. I can see they're catching you out saying, oh, hey, by the way, my such and such isn't working, you know, so because they see you. So they're going to just tell you. When my tenant does that to me, I go, oh, okay, good to know. I'll submit that through Inago for you.
And when they do the maintenance things, I'm getting better at saying, okay, great. Can you please put that in Inago for me so that we can, you know, track it, whatever, you know, whatever exact verbiage I throw in there. And most of them are pretty good at that. But you're right, we are neighbors with quite a few of our tenants. So sometimes I'm getting the text, hey, can I borrow your bike? Mine's got a flat tire. Because, you know, we are neighbors. So some of the communication is as neighbors. So that does blur some lines. I want to be a good neighbor and a good landlord.
Now, and again, I understand that. And you are going to become friends or not, I get that. But boy, oh boy, if for any reason, and I had to guard Mark on this, if for any reason you end up in a situation where they stop paying their rent for whatever reason, and you do have to take them to court, all of a sudden it is so much harder to do if you've become friends. And so Mark just loved this one set of tenants. And he's like, oh, we really should be friends with them. They are so cool. And I'm like, well, if they ever move out, then we can be friends. We can hang out and go to dinner with them and do all that once they're not a tenant. But as long as they're a tenant, we have to keep that landlord-tenant relationship. Because if things do go south, it's awfully hard if they're having Sunday dinner with you and you have to garnish their wages.
Yeah, we've been invited to some parties and opted not to attend the parties for that reason. Try to keep them somewhat at arm's length, but you know, it still makes, like I said, it blurs some of the lines though, because, you know, I'm not going to just completely refuse to interact with the person who lives, you know, literally, you know, yards from my back door.
And we're friendly with all of our tenants, but again, we're just very careful not to end up in that relationship with them in case something would go sour. We would have to abide by our end of the lease, and then it's hard to do. And again, it's because, you know, you want to be nice, you want to be the nice guy. And sometimes that's the biggest problem being a landlord, is that you want to be nice and people take advantage of you being nice. And so sometimes that is the issue. So I get that. And so it's really tough for really, really, really nice people to be landlords unless they find a system to put in place that they can still be nice and still keep that distance. And so I find that the Inago platform does that for me, and having the advisory board, that actually does that for me. And so I have actually put that on to where now I've embodied that. And so no matter what question my tenant asks me, I go, well, that sounds wonderful, but let me check with the advisory board. And that's my first response 100% of the time. And even if they say, can I pay my rent late this time? You know, I'd love to let you do that, but let me check with the advisory board. And then again, 100% of the time, I simply go back to the lease and I copy and paste whatever part of the lease talks about that. And that's what I send them back in Inago. Yes, absolutely. You may pay late. You have a 3-day grace. On the fourth day, there's a late fee. I just repeat the lease, you know? And then they go, thank you. That's all I needed to know.
So what do you do if your tenant wants to talk to someone from the advisory board?
They have to submit their request on Inago.
So do you actually have someone from the advisory board reply, or do you just reply in Inago as if you were the advisory board member?
It depends on the question. Do you know what their question was?
David?
So, yeah, this goes back to that wire with the AC. He decided that since that was a safety issue, he'd like to talk to somebody from the advisory board about getting I think he wanted a $250 credit on his rent.
For what reason?
This is where I say, I just can't anticipate what comes out of his mouth.
Yeah, I mean, was he at a loss of $250 for some reason? Did it cause him to lose $250?
No. And he's at there's been no financial hardship. The AC has worked, nothing has caught fire. I don't want to say what he figured because I cannot get inside this person's head. His motivations just baffle me.
Then I would probably just respond to it from the advisory board. I would probably say, we've received your request and after careful consideration, determined that since there was no loss to you, that there would be no discount on the rent at this time.
So he's since rescinded that actual request for the rebate, but yeah, I like that advice.
See, so that way, what it does is it gives you time to think, because the first question that I always ask myself when a tenant asks me for a favor of any kind, my first reaction is, let me put myself in their shoes. What is it that they're thinking? What is it that they're feeling? You know, like in your case, I would say, okay, how has this cost him $250? Is there something I'm missing here? What is it that might have caused him to have to spend some money? But what it does by saying, oh, let me, you know, submit that through Inago to the advisory board, it gives me time to do that thinking without being under pressure to answer on the spot. And so then if I can determine that it didn't cost him $250 or any financial situation, you know, because of the issue, then I can draft a nice, positive, professional letter, and it gives me time to keep it professional. And so that I'm not responding in a text going, you want what? What are you thinking? are you a crazy person? You know, it keeps me professional, and I'm just simply responding as if I worked for a big company and they told me, Kathy, send this guy a letter that he's not getting $250. And so that way it gives me time. And so that's probably the biggest advantage. It keeps you looking the professional business owner that you are.
I might have stumbled with this guy a little bit. For the rest of them, I'm professional.
But again, see, it's a learning curve for you. And so whether he stays or whether he goes, at some point, you'll know.
Oh, he's going. There's no okay. way I'm renewing his lease.
So you see where I'm going with that, see? So now it's a learning curve. And the next time you get someone else in there, you'll have a little bit maybe different way that you interact with them. Yeah. You'll know to keep that distance. So is this conversation helping? Tammy, is this helping? Michelle, how about you? Is this conversation helping?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, any questions or comments, Tammy? No? How about you, Michelle? Any questions or comments?
I guess I have a question. You saw on the Landlord Ladies of Ohio that one of our tenants came to us and told us she had cancer.
Yes.
And so her rent is paid through Section 8, except for we wanted to rent the place out at $1,100 a month. Section 8 only agreed to $1,017 a month. So okay. We told her that we would lower the rent to $1,075, but that's the lowest we were willing to go. And we could make up the difference in a fee that she paid as a parking fee for the back parking lot. So okay. She agreed to that. But I just put in a request to Section 8 to increase the payment of her rent to $1,100 so that she won't have to pay that fee anymore. What else would you do for a tenant in that situation?
Well, first of all, it sounds like you're doing everything you could do so that she's not going to have a financial obligation at all for her rent, but she's still going to have probably utility bills. Am I correct? And the rest of her bills?
Yeah.
The best you can do at that point, because again, you have to stay very professional because your job is to fulfill your end of the lease and her job is to fulfill her end of the lease. And so I would think the only additional thing that you could do for her would maybe do some research on organizations that could help her.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And
that's a good idea.
And put together a list of organizations and grant monies and that sort of thing, you know, because she may not, if she's going through cancer treatment at this point, and I don't know how far she is down the funnel of getting, you know, her diagnosis versus her treatments, but she may not feel like doing that kind of research. And so if you had some time to do some research, and because this is research, see, that you can then keep in your back pocket for all your tenants.
Yeah.
See, and what it does is it's adding value as a landlord. You're bringing value to the table because not only are you giving her a nice, clean place to live, but now you're helping her with some resources that maybe she just didn't have the wherewithal to search out. But it's something that you can then create a nice little booklet, if you will, you know, for all your tenants. So if anyone gets into a pickle, you already have done that research as to what organizations and grant monies that could be available in different situations.
Yeah, that's a great idea. I will do that. Thank you.
Any other questions, comments?
I don't think so. We're just looking for another rental right now, and it's becoming a little challenging to find anything.
I know the inventory is down so much. Are you on with a realtor anywhere where you're getting deals in certain areas and certain price points at all?
Well, we're working with Kyle to show us houses. He sent us one off market deal, but it wasn't really a deal. And I'm on the MLS myself since I'm licensed, but
okay.
I didn't want to make the offers myself because that scares me.
Set up a search. Yeah, set up a search So where you're automatically, you know, it's popping up and you're not having to physically go search every day unless you enjoy that.
No.
But sometimes you might get busy doing other things and you want it to pop up right away. As soon as something, you know, before it hits the MLS, as soon as somebody's under contract, you can get an email showing anything in a certain, you know, you know how to set up the search and do that for yourself.
I've done that. Yes. And we get emails from some wholesalers in the area, but just nothing that great has come through. It's like the houses are more than we could get in rent, basically.
I know. The prices are way up there. I get that. And by the time you rehab it and you've got that price point in there, and then you try to do your numbers, you're like, how does this work? It's not gonna work for me. I get it. Yeah. But you'll know because you're looking, you'll know when a deal comes along.
Yeah. I was telling Joe
to jump on it.
Yeah. I was thinking maybe we should go for a higher price point because when you get to like 200,000, it's not really that much more in a mortgage, but you can get that much more in rent. Like you can get a lot more in rent. So I was thinking maybe looking for a higher priced house.
That's a good strategy if you have the cash to do that up front.
Yeah.
Because again, a buy and hold is the long game. So you've got to make sure that you have, you know, the cash up front to make a higher deal work for you. And so if it were me, I would start working on getting pre-approved and getting my ducks in a row, getting the finances lined up so that when that deal comes along and you know the numbers work, you can jump on it.
Yep, that's already taken care of.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's ready to go. The plan. Yeah. So just hang in there and keep your radar out there because a good deal is going to come along, but they're going to be few and far between and you're going to want to grab it.
Yeah. Okay. I'll keep the faith.
Yeah. And in the meantime, just try to create your systems and practices, your best practices as a landlord so that you can do this long-term. You don't want to get burned out. You don't want to be stressed. You know, you don't want to be every time, you know, your guy calls you that you go, oh, what now?
Yeah.
And so I am so detached at this point that over the last year, I've had more move outs than usual, which is fine because I get excited every time I have a move out because I'm going to give myself a raise every time I have a move out. I'm going to raise the rent. And so there was a time that I could tell you by name and how many kids and what kind of car they drove. And now I have to go look it up because I've had enough turnover and move outs over the last 12 to 24 months that now the names are getting jumbled in my head. So now I'm like, okay, well, now what unit? Who is in that unit? And I have to go look it up. Now that's a good thing because it tells me that I have distanced myself from these tenants, that I'm not sucked into their drama. I can't even tell you who's in what unit. I'd have to go look. And so again, if you want to 10X your business and have 100 of these, you know, you can't get down in the weeds with 100 different tenants. You'd be so stressed all the time. And so it tells me that I'm doing a good job because I'm taking care of the properties. They're all in better shape. My properties just get better and better and better because every time a tenant moves in, you know, their complaint isn't what the last tenant's complaint was because I fixed that, you know? So now their complaint is going to be something that the last tenant hadn't said anything about that now I know needs fixed. And so my properties are just getting better and better and better. And so at this point, the stress is just not there. You know, I get an Inago will pop up in my inbox. The last one was, hey, my faucet's not working in the bathtub. What does that mean? What does that mean? I don't know what that means. It could mean so many different things. My faucet is not working. What does that really mean? Okay, I just picked up that Inago ticket and forwarded it on. My guy went out. I got an invoice for $100. He said, the faucet's fixed. I still don't know what that meant. All I know is it wasn't working and now it is. And I sent him $100 and I'm done. So you see how that works. And it was no stress to me. it would have cost me more than $100 to drive down there, figure out what it was, drive back over to Lowe's, pick up the parts or whatever, drive back over. Oh, now I don't have the tools. Drive back home, get some tools, drive back down. And $100 later, I'm done. And so, again, it's just eliminating that stress point. And so it's becoming more and more and more passive and less stressful. And my tenants, I now have trained, I've been on Inago long enough that I've trained them to just submit everything through Inago. And so guess what? I don't even get all of their crazy questions anymore, because Inago says, is this a maintenance issue? Is this a payment issue? Well, if it isn't either one of those, then don't send it. I only want maintenance issues and payment issues. I don't want any other issues. I don't care if your mother-in-law didn't come for Easter and now you've got all this leftover food and you're all stressed about it. I don't care. If that makes sense. And again, it's because I'm trying to make it a passive type income. I don't want to get down in the weeds with every single tenant on every single issue that they're having. And unless it's my concern, unless it has something to do with their lease or their payment of the lease. All right. Questions, comments? Yes. Helpful. Thumbs up. Helpful. Yeah. Okay. I think we're good.
Thank you.
Keep on keeping on. Yes. Yes. Make it passive. You know, if you're not making enough money, you need to buy more properties.
I wish it were as easy to do as it is to say.
I know. Now that's another whole conversation, but if you're not making enough money, then you need to buy more properties. Yeah. Cause it doesn't really matter even how much each one is cash flowing. You know, if you have a mortgage on all of them and your cash flow is smaller, then you need more to make the amount of money that you want. And if you get some mortgages paid off and now your cash flow is bigger, you need less to make that amount of money. So either way, you know, if you're not making enough money, you need more properties. I know that's oversimplified, but but that's how it works.
Exactly right.
Yeah, but that's how it works. So
and someday I'll figure out how to do it.
Yep. Hey, we're all in the same boat. You saw where I jumped on those two duplexes up in Sandusky and then the one over in Springfield, and they were just too big of a flip where we are in life these days. And so I ended up selling them and getting something that was an easier flip. You know, so sometimes, you know, sometimes you make a wrong turn, but you know, it's still good. It's still not a bad thing. You know, we learned a lot about ourselves on what we really wanted to do and didn't want to do. We have a lot more clarity on what type of property we're looking for now. And we're being a lot more selective, you know, cause we're thinking, yeah, we can do those. And then it's kind of like, oh, maybe not. Those are a lot of work and a lot of driving. So now we're back to looking a little closer to home and a little less of a flip. And so now we have a lot more clarity on that perfect property for us. And again, we've got some friends and they bought some handyman dreams. And one of our friends even bought an island that you can only get to if you row out there for 2 miles.
Wow.
Yeah. And Mark is like, oh, that is so cool. And I'm like, not for us. Maybe for him, he's in his 30s, but not for us. So it's all about what works for you. And just know that real estate is the long game. But at the end of the day, you have to always remember, no matter what your tenants take you through, you own the joint. Always tell yourself you are way ahead of the game because you own it. And that's why they're a tenant, and that's why you're the landlord, and you just have, your only job is to fulfill your end of the lease and collect the rent. That, and again, I'm oversimplifying that, but that's your job. Your job isn't to, and David, I'm going to pick on you. Your job isn't to make sure they have a bike to ride. Now you can be a nice guy and loan them your bike, but, but at the end of the day, that's not your job. And so never feel bad if you can't do something that's outside of the lease or collecting of the rent. Don't feel bad if you can't do it. Don't feel like you have to figure out how to do that, because you don't, that's not part of your job. So, and you want to make it as freestyle as possible. That's the whole point. So, you know, so that you can be like me, I'm in Sarasota and Tammy's down in Texas and, you know, and have that freestyle life and go where you want to go, when you want to go, and not be tied to these properties. You want to make them as passive as possible. So Michelle, if you get a chance, check out Inago again. Cozy is awfully, awfully close as far as formats. And I was not aware that Cozy did not have, or apartments.com these days, I wasn't aware of it, that it didn't have a way to do maintenance. So yeah.
Yep. So Inago wins out.
Yeah. So anyway, check it out. See if you'd like it. But I think we're all on the right path. So thank you for tapping in today. Any final questions or comments before we go?
Are you going to be at COIN tomorrow, or are you still going to be in Florida?
I'm still in Florida. I won't be back into COIN until probably next month. Because we don't get back from here this time until Thursday. Well, and we might even, because we ended up, our flight got canceled and we ended up driving. So we might even roll in sometime Friday. We've got an event Friday night back in Columbus. So we don't have to be back until Friday.
Okay. We'll have a great time.
All right. Perfect. All right, guys. We'll see everybody later.
See you guys later.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.